How many times, I mean, you walk up to a friend and you're like, wow, dude, your breath killing me. How many of you actually tell them that, right? Or they have their fly open and they're like, how many of you tell them, right? Those are little things. Those are little things. What about somebody you see the choices they're making and it is a train wreck and their marriage is on the brink and their kids are falling apart and you're like, oh, this is so obvious, but you're like, eh, that's their mess. I don't want to get involved with it. Really? How about people who don't know who Jesus is? There is no other way to the Father. There's no other way into eternity. It's only through Jesus Christ. And how many of us are like, well, you know, we'll let them deal with that. And maybe, you know, God will cut them some slack. Really? You know the truth. Are you going to share it? Will you be bold to proclaim it? Always and only be a truth teller.
Thank you for taking time to worship with us. My name is Floyd Bland, and on behalf of all of us here, I would like to welcome you to Paso Robles Community Church on Super Bowl Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Yeah, that was pretty cool, huh? We are located in California's Central Coast in the beautiful and pristine settings of Paso Robles. Love God, make friends, change the world. That's our motto here, and I feel that that is the call we strive to live out daily on a moment-by-moment basis as believers. So we pray that the time you share with us here in worship will empower you by God's Spirit and enable you then through His grace to do just that. Merriam-Webster defines bold as fearless before danger, or showing or requiring a fearless and daring spirit. An archaic definition is assured or confident. Dictionary.com further says, not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff. Based on these definitions, would you consider yourself bold? Would I consider myself bold? And not in the commonly expected definition as it pertains to being obnoxious or demeaning or inconsiderate, but fearless, assured, or confident in our lives of faith. Rarely, if I'm honest with myself, do I feel such boldness. Because see, if truth without grace is ugly, and grace without truth is spineless, how was it that the God-man was able to live in a way that was defined as full of grace and truth, as we are told in John 1:14? How can we love like that and be bold like Jesus? Well, bold like Jesus is today's message as we continue our series, Love Like That. We will observe Jesus as an always-on, 24/7 bold truth-teller. We will further note that if we want to be bold as Christ was bold, we will need to be marked by integrity and also be bold truth tellers. Simple, right? It's easy stuff. It's light work. So with that, now let us tune our ears and hearts to today's message from our pastor, Sean Penn.
How many are watching the game for the commercials? All right, just one. We are going to watch. We've got a presentation coming up here in about 15 minutes, maybe 12 to 13, 15 minutes. On Football Sunday, you're going to hear from guys that are playing in the game, from the Rams and the Patriots. You're going to hear from Demario Davis. He was a linebacker for the Saints. You're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, quarterback from the Minnesota Vikings. You're also going to hear from Case Keenum, who's a quarterback for the Broncos as well. They're going to share their testimonies with their wives. And so we're going to get to that here in a few minutes. But until then, we're going to open up the Word. We're going to do a little bit in our series. And so as you guys are getting your notes out, quick question. How many of you today are Rams fans? Get the hands up. Get them up. Get them up. Get them up. All right. Give some love for the Ram fans. Give some love. Woo! How many of you are Patriot fans in here? How many Patriot fans? We got one, got two, got three. Go ahead. Give some love for the Patriot fans. Give some. That's not love. What? You guys. Oh, my word. We're doing a series, Love Like That, and you just got a D. Oh, man. So, yeah, we're doing a series, Love Like That. If you're a guest with us, the whole goal is to teach us how to love like Jesus. And why are we doing that? Because we believe the Bible tells us, right, that number one, God is love. And if God is love, that makes love the most powerful, really the most powerful force on this planet, right? And we have it's the greatest of all virtues. Even the Bible tells us, right, of all the virtues, faith, hope, and love, what's the greatest, the Bible says? Love. And then Jesus, because God the Father is love, God is love, it's the great virtue, he tells us this is our responsibility, right, to love one another. John 13, I think we have it up on the screen. If you put it up there, read. Keep going. You're way behind me now because I'm flying. We got to keep going. John 13, Jesus says this. Keep going. One more. Next. Keep going. There we go. Read it with me. A new command I give you. You guys got that. That's right. When it's bold red, you read it loud, right? A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, right? One of the greatest gifts we've been given, the greatest gift we can give, is this increasing capacity to give love. So my question, and this is what the series is all about, right? If this is the greatest command, if this is the greatest power, if this is the greatest good, if this reflects who God is, then what is your personal plan for increasing in your ability to love? What is your workout strategy for increasing in your ability to give and to receive love? And that's what this series is about. And if you've been with us so far, we have learned, right, that loving like Jesus means that we're going to be awesome. And were you even here? Was that you? No, okay. That was good. Oh, okay. So the first is, we're going to be mindful. Then what we're going to be? Okay, those of you who are weak in this, you're like, I don't even know what this is. Those of you who are strong in it, I heard approachable. All right. What's the third one we learned last week? Graceful. You're going to be graceful, right? Now, if we're not careful, we can say, well, this is just a really wimpy version of love, right? It makes me a doormat. I'm going to be all grace-filled. I'm going to be all approachable. I'm going to be thinking about you. What keeps people from taking advantage of me? Well, we need this next element that we're going to talk about real briefly today, and in your small groups you're going to talk about, and that is this. We're going to have to be bold like Jesus. You're going to have to be bold like Jesus. Let me be clear on what we mean by being bold like Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're going to be obnoxious. It doesn't mean that you just go get up in other people's face and you yell at them and you condemn them and you think, I got the corner on what's right, and you don't. That's not what this is about, right? Being bold, really, it's about this level of confidence that is fueled by a conviction of truth. When you know what you know, that you know it's right and it's true, it should give you confidence. Not arrogance, not to be a braggart, not to be demanding. In fact, just the opposite, right? When you don't know what you're supposed to know, that usually makes you defensive. That usually makes you loud. But we can know the truth. We can be grounded in the truth. We have this complete confidence in the truth. And so it gives you a boldness, right? I mean, think about when you're in grade school and the teacher was going to call on you, right? And they were like, hey, Steve, can you tell me the answer too? And if you were like, I haven't done my homework, you know, how did you respond? You were like, You weren't so confident. You weren't so bold, were you? But let's go back further, like in grade school, and you learned your addition tables. And 1 + 1 = what? Right, and so the teacher goes, okay, can you tell me 1 + 1? What is the answer to 1 + 1? And you would say?
2.
No, you got to be louder. Confident. 2, right? You would say that with confidence. That's the power of truth. That's what it means to be bold. It is a confidence that's going to be fueled by a conviction about truth. And this is the type of life Jesus lived. Jesus was incredibly confident. The Bible says that he was filled with grace that we've learned about the last 3 weeks, right? Jesus was filled with grace, but he was also, according to John 1, Jesus was filled with, it's not going to be on one of these screens, right? He was also full of what? The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Read it with me. Full of grace and truth. We've got to have both grace and truth. And you look at the life of Jesus. Jesus had this complete confidence that just saturated Himself. And He would talk to people very boldly and very confidently. Jesus never backed down from a showdown, did He? He would go up to His disciples and He would correct them, no matter what that meant. He would talk to His enemies and He would speak the truth. He would come across a situation and He would never sidestep it. He would never go around it. He would hit it head on. He would be bold because He knew what the truth was. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was, in your notes, you can write this down, Jesus was a bold truth teller. When you look at the life of Jesus, man, Jesus was always telling the truth. Every single incident, every encounter He ever had, every relationship, He always and only ever told the truth. He was completely bold in His telling of the truth. Always and only. Look at His encounters. I'm just going to pick up two of them for you today. There's one in Matthew 23, where Jesus starts talking to the religious leaders of the day. And understand, you're saying the religious leaders in our culture, it's like, oh, is He just talking to the pastors? No, that whole culture, that whole society was based on religion. He's talking to the religious establishment. He's talking to the political authorities of His day. And He's telling them these things. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You what? Hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. That's a nice thing to say to people, isn't it? Which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the what? Bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of what? Hypocrisy and wickedness. Jesus didn't pull any punches. He went up and said, hey, I look at you guys, and on the outside, you look good, you smell good, you dress up well, you clean up well. You're doing all the right things, but when I look at the inside, you got a mess going on. You say you know the Father. You say you love the Father. But when I look at how you treat people and what you're doing with religion in the name of my Father, your insides are messed up. Jesus didn't hold back at all when He talked to people. He was bold. We see this one more encounter in the Gospels where Jesus walks into the temple. And this is the classic story of Jesus cleansing the temple, right? Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Read this with me. It says, Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. He cleansed that temple area. The Gospel of John says He took cords and He made a whip out of them. And He drove the money changers out. And He overturned those tables. And the Gospel of Mark actually adds that not only did He overturn those tables and run them out, He didn't even let merchandise go through the temple courts. Now, before you think again in your mind, well, that's just like going to church. What's the big deal? He came in and told you quit taking the offering, right? And He told you quit selling books in the lobby. Before you go there, that's not what was happening. Again, the whole culture and society was built around the temple. It was their temple worship. And the temple wasn't just a little church. The temple had actually evolved by the time of Jesus into a 32-acre complex. And millions of dollars were coming into that community and into that religion through people. How'd they get that money? Well, everybody, if you're here and you were worshiping, you had a responsibility, if you were a Jew, to actually pay a temple tax. You were supposed to show up, and here you go. I'm giving my tax. This is to maintain the temple, right? The problem is everybody gets paid in American dollars, right? In that day, they're getting paid in the Roman denarius. They're getting paid in the Roman money. You come to church, the church is like, time out. We don't accept that money. If you're going to pay the tax, it has to be in the temple shekel. And so you had to convert that money out of the Roman money into the temple money, the sanctuary shekel. Well, so they had money changers that would do that. So you show up. You get a dollar. Let's say you have a dollar. You show up to convert that. Well, they're going to charge you 25 cents to convert that. That's a pretty high percentage rate. And then if they had to give you change back, oh, guess what? We're going to charge you to give you change back, which is another 25 cents. So out of your dollar, 50% of it is going to the church. And the people are being exploited in the name of God. And then on top of that, all these animals were being gathered to be sold. Why were they there? Because listen, you got to travel from all over the country to get there, right? You're not going to want to bring your lambs, your pigeons, your doves. So you show up and you could buy them there. Or if you did have a lamb or a pigeon or a dove and you show up there, 9 times out of 10, they got to inspect it because it has to be just the right type. And they would inspect it. 9 times out of 10, it would be rejected. And you'd have to buy one of theirs. And the price would be like double. Right? And so again, now people are being exploited. People who are coming to the temple, which is the center of their culture, the center of their community, and they want to worship God. The temple is the place where God and humanity can meet. And the people are being exploited. And Jesus says, time out! Enough is enough! And so what does he say? Verse 13. It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer. You're making it a den of robbers. You know what Jesus just said? Have you ever been to a sporting event and you see the guy say, not in our house? You know what I'm talking about? Not here. Take that trash. Not in my house, right? That's exactly what Jesus just said. He said, not in my house. Time out. You don't bring that stuff here, and we don't do it that way here. And so he runs them out. Listen, Jesus always and only ever told the truth, gang. 100% of the time. When it was inconvenient and when it was hard, he told the truth. And you're like, oh, that was Jesus. And that seemed to be a gross injustice, right? But what if you bring it down to your level? How many times, I mean, you walk up to a friend and you're like, wow, dude, your breath, killing me. How many of you actually tell them that? Right? Some of you are like, I don't know. Or they have their fly open and they're like, how many of you tell them, right? Those are little things. Those are little things. What about somebody you see the choices they're making and it is a train wreck and their marriage is on the brink and their kids are falling apart and you're like, oh, this is so obvious. But you're like, eh, that's their mess. I don't want to get involved with it. Really? Always and only we're boldly speaking the truth because we have the strong confidence. We know what the truth is. How about people who don't know who Jesus is? There is no other way to the Father. There's no other way into eternity. It's only through Jesus Christ. And how many of us are like, well, you know, we'll let them deal with that. And maybe, you know, God will cut them some slack. Really? You know the truth. Are you going to share it? Will you be bold to proclaim it? Always and only be a truth teller. Woo, where'd my time go? Okay, quick, two things I'm going to ask us to do, all right? And you're going to work on your small groups. First is, if you want to be a bold truth teller like Jesus, you have to, first of all, be a person of integrity, right? Jesus' harshest words, Matthew 23, were to people who are hypocrites, people whose outward profession and inner life did not match up, people who had a value for themselves and then a value for everybody else, right? And Jesus came in, and in that Matthew 23, whitewashed tombs, 7 times he calls them hypocrites. 5 times, blind guides. 3 times, fools. 1 time, a snake. These are not nice things to say to people. But he was a man of integrity. And what's interesting, if you look at the prior chapter, when they came to Jesus and they wanted to entrap him, this is what they said about Jesus. Teacher, we know that you are a man of what? Integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. They knew exactly who Jesus was. He was a man of integrity. And when a person of integrity comes and speaks into your life, doesn't that carry more weight? And that's exactly what we're called to be, just like Jesus, a person of integrity. Second thing, we have to also be bold truth tellers. We have to be bold truth tellers ourselves. We have to speak the truth. Now listen, we know this, and you know this. And my guess is, if I pass the mic around, you guys would not wake up, most of you, probably 100% of you did not wake up this morning saying, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go tell 10 whoppers today. I'm going to be deceitful. I'm going to be a liar today. You did not get up with that on your mind. My thought is on this. You got up and said, hey, I'm going to be truthful today. I'm going to be like Proverbs 8:7. Proverbs 8:7 says about my mouth. Quick, there you go. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. My guess is you got up and that was in the back of your mind. I'm going to speak truth today. So why do at times we say we're going to speak the truth and then at some point in the day we compromise our integrity and we skirt around the truth? Why do we do that? Because Jesus always and only ever spoke the truth. So why do we skirt it? Here's my experience. Shannon, you're right here. I'm going to have you come up here. You're all dressed up for the part. You're Kansas City. That's okay. Better luck next year. So Shannon wakes up this morning. She goes, I'm going to go tell the truth. I am going to completely and always and forever only tell the truth. And she starts the day, and she starts going along. And my experience is she tells the truth until this happens. Mike, come here. Stand right here, Mike. Right there. Oh, no, come over here. Let's get you in the middle. Get you in the middle. So here's Mike, right? Here's Shannon. Shannon wants to tell the truth, always and only and forever. And she gets going into the day until, she comes across a big person in her life. And that big person, she's like, oh, no. If I speak the truth right now in this situation, in these circumstances, it might not go well. This person may come unglued. This person may become mean. This person may get angry. This person may fire me. This person may slam the door and walk out on me. And so what we do is this. Come on, let's hide. We avoid them, right? And we go around the truth. And then we say, oh, I'm living 100% of the truth today, right? Anybody done that? Come on, be honest. You're in church. Get the hands up. All right. You guys can go sit down. I just want to give a visual. Give him a hand. Don't we do that? We're told to be bold truth tellers, and we will tell the truth till the cost of telling the truth gets too high. We're like, I'm going to go around it. Listen, if we're going to be like Jesus, we got to tell the truth 100% of the time. But we do it in love and with grace, because truth without love is ugly, isn't it? U-G-L-Y, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly, right? But truth without, and truth without love is also spineless. So we have to speak the truth in love. And here's the cool thing. God says he's given you his spirit. And his spirit is going to form in you the image of his son, Jesus. And it's going to give you the ability to speak the truth in love. So here's my challenge and my charge. We got to get to this video. Challenge and charge for us this week and even today is this. If we're going to bear image of Jesus Christ, we're in his image, then we have to make a couple of commitments. Today, when the officials blow the call, and they're going to blow the call, right? It's going to happen. We are not going to file a lawsuit against the NFL. That actually happened this last week, right? Because people are upset that the officials blew the call. We are not going to yell at the officials. We are not going to throw things at the TV. Because we're going to say, because I want to bear the image of the one whose name I bear, because I want to reflect Jesus Christ. I will not compromise my integrity over this football game. This week, when you get up and you're going out, tell yourself every morning, because I bear the image of Jesus Christ, I will always and only and forever in every circumstance tell the truth. I will tell the truth in love 100% of the time. So my challenge to you is, will you commit to these things? We're talking about truth here. So don't answer rashly. You don't want to lie about telling the truth. So will you commit to telling the truth and being a person of integrity? Yes? And the answer is? Yes.